Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the Radio.com app. And now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Boomer Esiason joins us now on the Harbor One Hotline, and Boomer is brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Morning, Boomer.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing? I didn't think we were doing this today.
How are we doing? It was a very depressing weekend up here. We don't know what to do with ourselves when the Patriots aren't in the playoffs.
Well, the good news is you get to keep Josh McDaniels as your offense coordinator. The bad news is you lose your special teams coordinator, Joe Judge.
Surprised that Josh McDaniels didn't get the Browns job?
I'm not, because Paul DePodesta is running that thing. And, you know, he's an analytics-driven guru. And I would imagine that if Josh McDaniels were going to take a job, it was going to be under his ideas. And he probably told the Haslams what he wanted, how he wanted to do things. And it probably didn't line up with what Paul DePodesta wanted to do. So not shocking to me at all. As a matter of fact, we kind of expected it at CBS simply because I don't think the Browns were going to commit to everything that probably Josh wanted.
Do you think that makes it more likely that Tom Brady stays here?
It feels that way, but you never know. You never know. The interesting thing is the Patriots, regardless of Tom Brady playing there or not, are going to have a $13.5 million cap hit because of all the deferred money and everything else, the way that the NFL, you know, computes these types of things. So I think it would behoove the Patriots to try to get something done with him and keep him and, you know, give Jared Stidham another year or two underneath him and see if he's going to be the answer when Tom ends up leaving. But I kind of feel like now, because Josh is staying, that there's a likelihood that he would stay as well.
How do you feel? You brought up Joe Judge, Boomer. How do you feel about crazy conspiracy theories? Because I heard a good one this weekend.
Let me hear it.
I'm going to run it by you. Bill Belichick was happy to help him get that job because Bill Belichick, should he be unable to win a battle with Robert Kraft over signing or not signing Tom Brady, would be happy to move into a general manager position above Joe Judge with the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, we kind of heard that down here too, so that's not surprising. I know anything's possible in the NFL these days, I would imagine, but the interesting thing to me was allowing Joe Judge to go through the interview process before allowing Josh McDaniels to go through the interview process. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about all of this, a lot of these coaches have the same agents. So in a lot of cases, the agents know what's going on with one of their other clients while, you know, not really knowing what's happening with another one of their clients. So I don't know where all this stuff gets mixed up. All I know is that I think Joe Judge had the opportunity to go to Mississippi State and take that job. So the Giants had to act fast if they felt like he was the guy. They said he gave a great interview, but they all give great interviews. I don't think anybody gives a bad interview. And even if they did, I don't think they would ever say that they gave a bad interview. Right. But this is going to be interesting down here because, you know, he's 38 years old. He said all the right things, said everything that every Giant fan wanted to hear. But then trying to employ the things that he was talking about is going to be awfully difficult in a building that seems to be dysfunctional and has been dysfunctional for quite some time.
Any chance that Bill O'Brien gets fired after that brutal performance yesterday?
Yeah, but why was it brutal now? So I want to hear this because I saw a lot of people on Twitter criticizing Bill O'Brien for different things. And two of the things,
well,
one,
I think the fake punt is.
All right, yeah, but I hear some people saying, oh, he should have went for it on 4th and 1. Now, you're assuming that they were going to make it. So let's say they make it. Let's say they go for a touchdown. That means he's being aggressive, and that's great. That's what you have to do in Kansas City. Okay, now let's fast forward to the fake punt. Well, why is he doing a fake punt? Well, because he's trying to be aggressive and trying to keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes because he knows his defense can't stop him.
Yeah.
So I don't I don't criticize from that standpoint. Some other people may. Some other people say, you know, Deshaun Watson deserves a better coach. That's a bunch of crap. I mean, you're standing there on the sideline in Arrowhead. You're watching your team's momentum completely fade away. They got Patrick Mahomes over there, the NFL's best quarterback. They have an offense that could light up against anybody at any time, at any given moment. And he's feeling it on the field. So he knows what's going on. And he tried to do something that was really amazing. But the amazing thing to me is that Reed, the kid with the ball that was during the fake punt, couldn't get away from Sorensen. I mean, like, if he gets away from him, he's running down the sideline for 20 yards. So that was a hell of a tackle. It was a gutsy call. I don't care what anybody says. And he did exactly what Bill Belichick did against the Indianapolis Colts many years ago when they couldn't stop Peyton Manning. And they went for it on 4th and 4, and they missed Wes Welker, and everybody's crazy. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? He goes, hey, man, were you watching my defense? We couldn't stop the other team's quarterback. That's why I did it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Bill O'Brien was trying to do yesterday.
Yeah, that 4th and 2 play where he hit Kevin Faulk, that's something we're still not over here. I don't know if you're familiar with New England Boomer. We don't get over those things too quickly.
I know. Was it Kevin Faulk or was it
It was Kevin Faulk.
It was Kevin Faulk.
It was 4th and 2, and if you say 4th and 2 down here, New Englanders just stare at their shoes and go, he had the line of down, just like we don't think Jimmy Graham had the line of down last night in the Green Bay game.
Yeah. Well, it was Lambeau Field, after all. It's called home cooking for a reason.
Yeah. So what do you think happened Saturday night? I mean, we all know what happened, that the Titans came in and imposed their will, and Derrick Henry's a big, bad man. But what did they do defensively that other teams couldn't do for almost 4 months in a row?
Well, you know, Lamar Jackson hadn't played for 20 days. He did not play in Week 17. His last game was against the Browns in Week 16. He's a young kid. He is not a polished passer. He had a great season this year. He's a dual threat. There is no question about that. And he got off to a really bad start. The Ravens, when you look at them statistically, their first quarter is always their best quarter, and they are by far the best team offensively in the first quarter. And Tennessee just totally, I think, frustrated the young man, and he had no answer for it. If you saw him on the sideline, you saw how frustrated he was getting. You saw those 2 4th-and-1s they couldn't convert. Conversely, you watched Patrick Mahomes on the sideline yesterday. His team's down 24-0. And he's just kind of yelling at his players, come on, guys, we got this. So everybody just calm down. And if everybody would have played the game at the way he was playing it early on, then they would have never gotten down 24-0. But I think it's just the nerves. The nerves got to them. And John Harbaugh had a terrible game as a coach, if you ask me, especially with the way that they mishandled their timeouts at the end of the first half. They should have been able to run 2 or 3 more plays into the end zone as opposed to settling for a field goal. So even with as poorly as they played, they were only down 8 points at halftime, which was amazing to me. And then the second half got worse. He was inaccurate. He has a hard time throwing accurate footballs outside the numbers. He's great inside the numbers, Lamar is, but outside the numbers, it's not great. And you could see how inaccurate he can be at times. So I think it was just nerves probably got to him. I don't think John Harbaugh coached very well. And I thought that Derrick Henry, of course, just basically manhandled that Patriot defense, much like he did the week before, not Patriots, the Ravens defense, much like he did before the week before with the Patriots.
Boomer Esiason is our guest. Boomer, how likely is it that you think the Titans can upset the Chiefs on Sunday?
I would probably give them like a 20% chance, just simply because Vrabel's got this thing going, us against the world, and certainly Derrick Henry, the last 3 games, he's been a monster. And I would think that he'll have a big game against Kansas City. He'll be able to run against the Chiefs. The key will be on 3rd down. When it's 3rd and medium, 3rd and long, will Ryan Tannehill complete more passes than not and not throw an interception? If you turn the ball over, they'll get run out of the building. But they still have a chance because they have the best running team left. They are all about the run. Vrabel's smart defensively. Dean Pease is smart defensively. Arthur Smith, their offensive coordinator, gets no love whatsoever. And he called the game of his life against the Ravens. So they have a chance, but I don't think it's likely that they're going to win. And I think Andy Reid is going to go to the Super Bowl, and I think he's going to be playing against the San Francisco 49ers.
Back to Patriots talk for a quick moment. Someone I think you're reasonably familiar with. Last week there was an awful lot of talk around here and on the national scene, especially Peter King, Pro Football Talk, that should the Patriots move on from Tom Brady, that Bill Belichick would love to work with Andy Dalton. Is that a scenario you could see likely happening? Because I think I'd probably be wearing a Yankees jersey to Fenway Park before
before that happens.
No. I'll be in a Jets jersey and a duck boat parade in Boston before that happens.
You know, I hope it doesn't happen for Andy. You know, that's not where I see Andy going, although the Patriots are still going to be a very good defensive team next year. They'll get healthier on the offensive line, and they'll be a good team. I don't care what anybody says. They're still a playoff roster. But Brady has to be there, I think, in order for that to happen. You know, you do not want to be a mercenary-type quarterback coming in and stepping in for Tom Brady. That is not what I would consider a prime spot for any quarterback, let alone a quarterback that, you know, is kind of quiet personality-wise. That's who Andy is. I'd like to see Andy in another place, like Chicago or something like that. I think they would really welcome him there, but stepping into the shoes of Tom Brady would be an impossible feat, I believe, for Andy Dalton up there.
Back in your super pliable days, did you ever jump on the hood of a stranger's Mercedes, Boomer?
I'm not going to answer that because I do not want to incriminate myself. Meaning, I'm sure I've done some stupid things in my life. You know, just that it wasn't social media wasn't involved, and neither was TMZ. So it was kind of funny. Yesterday, I didn't realize this, but Nate Burleson, I guess, is pretty good friends with Julian. And they were FaceTiming yesterday during our show at one point. And I'm like, is that Julian Edelman? And Nate goes, yeah. And I said, man, he's out of jail already? How the hell that happened?
Yeah, you get out quick. I mean, you get out quick on something like that. I'm blaming.
Sounds like, you know, I know what I'm blaming. And it's probably he was a little tipsy, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably. I actually blame Danny Amendola. I mean, he was with Danny Amendola and Paul Pierce beforehand. And
right.
Nothing good happens after 11 p.m. That's what my mom always told me, Boomer.
You know what? If I were from Boston, I'd feel good that all my ex-athletes and present athlete are all still hanging out together.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Me. Yeah.
I know. And you got to know, Gronk was somewhere in the vicinity. I don't care what anybody said. He was within 5 miles of this. I guarantee it.
Well, I think we feel good about it because we were worried about the knee. So I think, you know, never mind the off-season knee surgery. Seems to be, if you can jump a hood of a Mercedes.
Have we found out what kind of vehicle it was?
Some sort of, I don't know if it was a G-Wagon or what kind of Mercedes it was.
Oh, it was a Mercedes. Wasn't a Bentley? I thought maybe a Bentley. Maybe jumped on a Kardashian Bentley or something.
No. No. All right. Well, Boomer, it's great having you on, and I assume we'll talk to you again after we know who is headed toward the Super Bowl.
I guess so. I think this thing goes all the way through the Super Bowl, I would imagine.
Right. Awesome.
Well, Greg, I can't believe you fired me 2 weeks too early.
I know. Well, I said kind of a very sentimental goodbye last week, but it was premature.
And all right, we'll take it back, and we'll do it all over again in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, excellent. Well, this is great. You're like our emotional comfort support, Boomer, in these times of need.
I'm glad I could be here for you guys.
All right. Thanks.
Monday night, weeknight 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Hey, Trending Now brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. If you're looking for a real size entree with great flavor available all day, every day for just $9.99, check out the 99s today, Hillman. One of their 9 real size entrees, like their classic country fried chicken. The 99, always the real deal. Boomer is so defensive of coaches, huh?
Well, I was going to say, are you surprised by his Bill O'Brien take?
Totally. I mean, how do you defend that? Especially, like, okay, he's saying they should have been aggressive in both instances. I don't know what his argument is,
well,
actually.
He was saying basically you have to be terrified of Mahomes, but they were doing a fantastic job of stopping him. So I don't know.
He panicked. Bill O'Brien panicked. He knew his team wasn't that good, and he made a call that cost him the game.
Yeah. I think the fake punt's worse than the 4th-and-1, in my opinion, but that's debatable. Final four, Titans, Chiefs, Packers, Niners. Will you be rooting for Jimmy Garoppolo on the West Coast, who's got a very outspoken teammate on the defensive side? Did you catch any Richard Sherman's act?
Yes. Afterward? I mean, you know, he had to basically address his critics, mm-hmm. and everybody, you know, nobody gives me any credit for what I do.
Right.
And should we listen to some of it?
I mean, it's long. We can hear some of it.
I get tired of hearing the excuses for why I'm great. It was man coverage. I covered the man. I picked the ball off. In the playoffs, in big games, I show up. I show up year in, year out, whether it's 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. Unless I tear my Achilles, I'm out there and I'm doing my job at a high level. And I think I get tired of the excuses. you know, for why I'm good. Oh, my God, they're playing zone. Oh, my God, it was this guy. Oh, my God, receiver slipped. Oh, my God. It's like,
I mean, this goes on for another minute. Yeah. He's like,
okay, Richard, you're fantastic.
Does this remind anyone of the famous one with Aaron Andrews on the field?
Don't you ever talk about me.
No, 100%.
You know, I'm the greatest. Same thing. I mean,
he's defending his contract last week, tweeting at people who said that it was a bad contract, going back and finding old tweets like, hey, the throne of most sensitive professional athlete is already occupied firmly and comfortably by Kevin Durant, but if you want to be the hand to the king right now, Richard Sherman, go ahead.
You know who's a huge Richard Sherman fan? Richard Sherman.
Yay!
Now, Fitzy, for some reason, is a big Marshawn Lynch fan. He's like tweeting about how great Marshawn Lynch is.
I've said before, I'll say it again, for the entertainment value, I think he's an incredible player, but for the entertainment value alone, the NFL is a better place with Marshawn Lynch in it. I'm just here so I don't get fined. His press conference last night, take care of y'all's bread, then you can take care of yourselves, get your mentals in order, everything. I mean, it's kind of like jazz speak,
God,
but at the same time.
Absurd.
I love it.
Marshawn Lynch is such a douche to the media. He stands up there and he doesn't answer a single question that's asked of him, and the media laps it up. I don't understand it.
I'm not lapping it up. I'm legitimately entertained by it, and he's an awesome player. I've been in since the Beastquake.
And Graham got that first down. Were you saying that you didn't think he got that first down?
I don't know about that. That was suspect.
He was short.
You think so?
Suspect. Yes. There was a final angle that that Fox got to really late for some reason that shows his helmet at the first down marker, but the ball was clearly about a foot behind that.
And not the line that was drawn by Fox there with that little first down tracker, but like where the actual first down marker was. He was probably a half yard short, but we didn't see anything to... So, home run Packers.
Yeah. Can we all agree that Pete Carroll has had some work done? How old is he?
67.
I mean, 67?
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like
68.
68.
Oh, he's older than Belichick.
I mean, he's definitely had some. I mean, I get it. You're out on that whole West Coast thing. The plastic surgery is very common, but I mean, he's definitely had some lipo or like,
I know you've been approached at this point. You've turned everybody down.
Was it the collagen? Is that what they do?
Get the fillers, maybe a little Botox.
What do you mean I've been approached?
Maybe some IPL.
I mean, you have a lot of people. They endorse this, sponsor this.
I don't need plastic
Greg
surgery.
Approach for collagen implants.
Of course, I saw it in the hallway.
It's like people who think I've got some deal going with Peloton or something like that.
Totally do.
Listen.
Speaking of Pete Carroll, though, when you see these games and they hand the ball off to Lynch at the 1 yard line and he scores with ease, it must make Seahawks fans lose their minds knowing they lost the Super Bowl because of him. I mean, it was unbelievable. Yesterday there was a play. There are 15 people in the box. He somehow got through it and got a touchdown. Yeah. I mean, that call will live in infamy.
And this is him off the couch after a year, too.
Celtics and Bruins tonight and the college football national title. You can hear it on 93.7 at 8. This is the Greg Hill Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Practically brought to tears with mourning over the death of Neil Peart. of Rush.
I mean, it is sad. When, like, one of your favorite bands, you know, will never tour again. You'll never see them. I mean, it just...
Well,
I mean, they've been out of commission for a while. He's obviously been battling this for several years, but
and I believe he wrote a majority of the lyrics as well.
Totally, yeah, he was their lyricist.
Yeah, yeah.
Which he said was it was more about the music, less about the words. But I think if you're a Rush fan, like, you know, some of the words you were way into the words. Rush fans are way into everything they did. Yeah.
I mean, good luck getting anything done IT wise at work today. I mean, the IT people are all gonna
forget about it.
They're all gonna
Sid's
be
a Rush fan.
Out of office message.
Dude, Subdivisions is going to be blasting from every speaker and every place that has the hum of servers. You'll hear, "Why are we here? Because we're here. Roll the bones."
I just was not a Rush fan, and I apologize for that on this day.
Well, you were a jock
in particular.
I mean, it's fine.
You know, what? I should have been. Honestly, my basketball career should have gone farther if it weren't for poor coaching at Neshoba Regional
High
School.
Poor athlete that blames his coach.
Yes, should have gone farther. This is Rich, by the way. Here's a 617 texter who wants to know why I am going easy on Julian Edelman this morning, which I haven't been.
Yes, you are. You completely, yes, you what? Seriously?
I don't believe that jumping on the hood of a vehicle is some giant transgression against humanity.
He damaged the car. If this were anyone else in the NFL, you'd be like, "Oh, seriously? Like, what's wrong with this idiot? Are you gonna go get drunk and jump on cars in L.A.? What kind of idiot does that?" But it's Julian, and you're friends with him, so you're giving him a pass.
Do people really think that this is a horrible thing? I mean,
he damaged the car, Nick.
Of course, it's no crime against humanity. I'm not defending him, but
yes,
what I'm going to say is, no, I mean, it's idiotic behavior. And also, I would have liked an invite. Looked like a pretty good time with him, Dole, and Pierce. Yeah. By the way, Pierce looking slim.
Paul looking pretty fit. Has he done the awaken?
More to the point, though, I'm just looking forward to the cascading of, the death of the dynasty furthers, the deterioration of the dynasty.
Derek already lost their way.
Yeah.
Derek, the Steelers fan, already tweeted at me about it over the weekend, about how things are falling apart down there.
His probation officer lets him tweet?
This just shows it. Shows how out of control the entire organization is.
Well, we had a lot of headlines last offseason, so this is the start of another offseason. The last thing you want is one of your guys to be in the news, like week one. It's in and of itself, but the body of work now is troubling.
You're going easy on him, Greg, but not nearly as easy as the rest of the media is and continues it to be with Tyreek Hill. It is an embarrassment.
This guy was
abusing his toddler physically. Mm-hmm. He was verbally threatening his girlfriend, the mother of his child, and he's sitting there after the game like, "Oh, hey, guys, what's going on?" I can assure you, if that was a New England Patriot who had the same rap sheet, it would be bulletin board above the fold in newspapers across the country.
That's a great point. Here's a 978 text that says, "Greg, where are you parked? I'm going to come jump on your hood and see how you react, you knob."
Hey, no big deal.
I mean, there are some people who would probably, most of them women, who would love to have Julian Edelman jump up on the hood of their vehicle.
Don't act like there's plenty of bros that wouldn't love that, too.
Look what Edelman did
to my hood. They're going to sell it on eBay.
Right.
They're going to put it in their man town and, like, put it in a shadow box. There's a hood of a vehicle and a shadow box on the wall.
And some art installation is going to tape that hood against a wall.
Exactly.
Can we start a new segment every day called the knob of the day? I love that word.
I was just going to say, that's an underused word.
Knob?
Like, knob is better than
knob.
Chode.
Let's see. Here's a text that says, "If AB jumped on a car, Greg would be laying into him."
You 100% would. You definitely would.
I mean, You know, listen, Greg's old enough to be his dad, so, you know, he's already disappointed enough.
I guarantee you Frank won't talk to him for another 78 days after this one.
Nope. Frank's very disappointed right now. I'm sure somewhere you can cut to Frank in a fanny pack fixing a Toyota, disappointed in Bubs.
Frank Edelman is very disappointed this morning.
I can hear him scowling from here.
Let's see. "Greg, you would indeed say that anybody else was a buffoon for doing that." I mean, you would.
You 100% would.
Listen, people, we've all had some drinks. and done something.
You've never jumped on the hood of a car, dude.
Well, because I can't. Have you seen me?
It doesn't matter.
I broke my ankle in two places and needed screws trying to get over a puppy gate.
Yeah.
I can't jump. I can't jump up onto the hood of a vehicle.
I bet your Peloton, Greg, could.
That is the saddest dad fail in the history of time.
You're right.
A broken ankle with two
screws
on a puppy gate.
Oh, it was horrible.
Oh, so was him talking about it for 6 months after.
Oh, God.
I was on crutches for 3 months. It's the worst thing ever.
Oh, are you a slower healer?
No, I didn't milk it. It was that bad.
It was
a devastating injury.
Oh, God.
Most people could not have suffered that kind of injury and then go on to set records on Peloton every day, like yours truly.
Yes.
And like nude Peloton guy. I still can't believe that there's an actual, like, literally we were talking about that on the show the other day. Like, just because the guy Al told me that he does the nude Pelotoning, and then all of a sudden, nude Peloton guy followed me, and there's a guy out there that's his handle.
Yeah.
I don't even want to use the word handle when referring to nude Peloton
handle,
guy.
Handle, knob.
That's his handle. Nude Peloton guy.
Everyone's like, connected, though. You say anything, and then an ad for that appears in your Instagram. Of course, the interweb carried it to him.
Yeah.
Only makes sense.
Let's see. Here's somebody who says, if Edelman jumped on the hood of my car, I would ask him to autograph it. Mm. Well, see, there you go.
You're homers.
I mean, I really don't think this is a giant deal. And I don't think there's any kind of, there's no discipline associated with this, right? I mean, is there team discipline or NFL discipline?
I don't know that.
It's, the guy's having fun. It's a young fella.
He's
young
fella
out there having fun.
This is all product placement for his new jeans. They were wearing them. You can jump on a hood with them.
Mm-hmm. Look at the flexibility in the Edel Joe jeans. And by the way, there is a little entitlement in thinking like in your 30s, I don't care how many shots or how many VOD sods you and the gang drank beforehand, like thinking like it's okay to jump on. Like, yeah, okay, now I'm, yeah, that was not cool.
Yeah. Here's a text that says, let's be fair.
Not cool.
Every drunk bro, at least once, has attempted the Dukes of Hazzard slide. Mm-hmm. That's all this is. What's the big deal?
The big deal is you're a big-time NFL star. Stop it.
Oh,
and you're out in L.A. where, like, cameras are on every foot. Someone has a camera that's going actively.
Coming up in just a few moments, we will get to the news. And we will find out why some have their panties in a bunch over what LSU did for their students ahead of the national championship game. Let's see. Here's a text that says, Greg, I follow you on Peloton, and nude Peloton guy started following me yesterday, too.
Whoa.
Creepy.
Oh, so he's one of those guys. Is he a compiler follower?
What's that?
You know, people this guy's being followed by, has 35,000 followers on Twitter. Right. Oh, he also follows 28,732. Like, that's not really an accomplishment. That's good for you, guy.
You mean Tay Diggs doesn't really care what I'm saying on Twitter? Damn it.
Do you ever get followed by somebody? You're like, oh, I can't believe that's like Melissa Joan Hart followed me on Twitter. I was like, why does Sabrina the Teenage Witch follow me? Oh, she literally follows everyone on planet Earth.
That's how Tay Diggs is. He follows everybody. He's following, he has 643,000 followers. He's following 682,000 people.
Here's a 781 text that says, yes, it was stupid, but you're acting like he's not going to just pay for a new Mercedes for the guy. Well, I know. Why didn't he just break out the cash and pay the owner of the vehicle to go away?
Because the cops saw him.
That seems to be what's going to happen. So a witness saw this happen, and the police happened to be in that neighborhood investigating a robbery. So the witness flagged down the cops to narc out Julian about the hood jump.
The witness probably didn't know it was Julian Edelman.
Probably not. Thought
it was a bunch of out-of-control punks.
Hoodlums.
Yeah.
So they arrested him and cited him for vandalism. They're saying, I think TMZ reported this or surmised this, that he'll probably, you know, settle with the Mercedes owner to cover the cost of the damage. And it's up to the L.A. County prosecutor's office whether or not they want to file charges, which I highly doubt they will.
Mm. All right. Well, you know what? Off season, good to stay in the news. And good to and maybe good to know that the knee is okay. If the knee can take jumping onto the hood of a Mercedes-Benz, how bad could it really be?
Ahead of two significant off-season surgeries with a final year in New England coming up, I think it's great.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next on the Greg Hill Show here at WEEI, it is the news.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. It's time for...
Good morning.
...the news.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
...with your host...
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
...Danielle Murr.
Cannonball!
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
Worth it!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Fake news.
They specialize in the sexual health of men at the Northeast Men's Clinic. Learn more at northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000. Speaking of that, we don't have time right now, but maybe at 8:05 or so, we should discuss that according to medical experts, this past year, your savage sexual activity...
Yes.
...led to a new record when it comes to a certain lovemaking-related injury.
Oh,
maybe we will discuss that coming up a little bit later. But what do you want to talk about news-wise?
Let's talk about the protests that were happening in Iran over the weekend. Now, the Iranian government reversed their course on that Ukrainian passenger jet that had the quote-unquote mechanical failure and crashed, killing 176 people. And they were like, oh, you know what? We might have unintentionally shot that down.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. And I think most people didn't believe that this was a mechanical issue with this plane from the get-go.
No.
But there were a lot of protests that started on Saturday, carried through yesterday. Protesters were shouting anti-government slogans.
Yeah, they were refusing to step on the American flag.
Yes.
They were basically... they're risking death by protesting over there, but they were protesting their own government.
That's correct. Yeah, they were outside one university campus. There's a U.S. and an Israeli flag painted on the ground.
Yeah.
And the protesters just kind of, they went right around it. They refused to walk over either flag, which I thought was pretty interesting. So still, you know, the unrest there kind of still continues with the protesters and whatnot. There's some issues with, you know, people claiming that police are firing into the crowds. They're saying that's not happening. So just a scary situation over there. Really tense. Yeah. There's an incident that happened over the weekend in Chelmsford where a Waltham man is now facing child pornography charges after officials say he was caught videotaping a boy who was changing in a locker room. And the guy was doing it right out in the open. Didn't even attempt to be secretive about
it. Yeah, this is disturbing. This is at a wrestling tournament or something, right?
Yeah, Chelmsford High. I think it was Saturday around 4:15 p.m. David Menard, 54 years old, was alleged to have been filming a boy in the locker room who was like 15 feet away from him.
How does he just randomly get in there?
I don't know. Not sure.
He uses his Patriots pass that got him into the Cleveland-Cincinnati game.
I mean, it's really disturbing.
It really is. So
throw the book at the guy.
You really have to. Coaches detained him when the boy spoke up. Police confiscated a bunch of cameras and laptops from his car. And now investigators will be looking through that to see if there's any evidence of any other wrongdoing by there. They don't think the guy had any connection to the wrestling event other than just being there to watch it. Waltham High was not participating in that meet. So he's going to be arraigned today in Lowell District Court on charges of possession of child pornography and videotaping a nude person for felony.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you don't have a kid that is participating in the sports activity at the school, maybe you shouldn't be there.
What if your child is an alumni and you really just miss going to Friday night football
games?
That's okay.
With that. Like, if you get really sentimental, you're a dad like me and you want to show up at a Friday night lights game, I think that's okay.
But I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What?
You randomly go to Friday night games?
I miss the fact that Breece Hill is not high school. Friday night high school
you're
football.
Ripping
is,
Rush fans? Jeez.
It's the greatest. Mm-hmm. It's the greatest thing in the world, and I miss the fact that he is. I mean, I enjoy going to the Bentley games. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. Hey guys, Breece Hill's dad's here. He's got a trunk full of Trulies. Let's go hang out with Hill, man.
No, I think it's a little. I mean, it is a little bit weird. Like you go back.
You I mean, go to why the, do you any, wear your jersey?
If you sit right by the cheerleaders. Jeez.
If you go to any high school sporting event, you don't have a child participating. Yeah. You're a suspect.
You're
a suspect.
Let me ask you a question. What's your take on the word damn? Do you consider that to be profane or just a whatever word?
I feel like we've moved past that when it comes to profanity.
I agree with you on that one. However, 1 Million Moms, the conservative group, disagrees with us and anyone else who thinks that damn is not a big deal. Burger King is going to be rolling out the Impossible Whopper nationwide, I believe, sometime in August. So they have a commercial going on right now that shows people coming to taste test the Impossible Whopper, and they give their thoughts. You know how those commercials go. Let's play the audio from the promo, okay? And one person's reaction in particular landed on their radar.
Damn, that's good.
No.
So this guy says, damn, that's good. Yeah. And 1 Million Moms is upset because they think this is profane. They issued a statement and said, 1 Million Moms finds this highly inappropriate. When responding to the taste test, he didn't have to curse. Or if, in fact...
Oh, was that good?
Yeah, it was damn good.
It was that good.
Damn!
Yeah.
If it was real and unscripted, in which the man was not an actor, then Burger King could have simply chosen to edit the profanity out of the commercial. They feel that that's destructive
and
damaging.
That's what they're upset about.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that is available on the intranets, and that's what they're worried about.
I feel as though anybody who signs this petition or is angry about it probably has a household that has the most filthy language, just like the people that are the strongest against gay marriage are often having a male in their affair.
That's like your lead this morning at 6, which was that there should be no climate change warrior who is allowed to go outside in January when it's 70 degrees. They're not allowed to participate in the enjoyment of the weather like we all were this weekend.
How can you possibly be gleeful walking around when it's 70 degrees in January when you're telling me that the world is ending because of this warmth? It does not add up. It does not compute.
Well, here's a 603 text from New Hampshire, which says, Curtis, you have been talking on this show for years about there being no such thing as global warming because it's cold in January.
Yeah, what happened to the worst winter ever?
This weekend was extremely warm and mild, so by your logic, that must mean that there is global warming going on.
There is global warming, and I effing love it. Make it hotter. God, was it great this weekend. I was in such a good mood. It was perfect weather.
It was so great to go outside Saturday in a short sleeve shirt.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I mean, it was beautiful. And this whole week, I think it's going to be 50 on Wednesday. I think it's going to cool back down again on Thursday or Friday.
The city was alive.
Yeah.
Why do we put every time you get a chance to enjoy weather like that or live outdoors and get a little extra vitamin D. Don't laugh, Danielle. Why do
were
we
you sunning your rectum?
Yeah, I was doing some. Yeah, I was I had a nice front lawn perineal sunbath. There I was, just legs akimbo, with the mighty backdoor star pointed at the
you
Superman's
favorite.
You
should do nude yoga in your yard. Then you could accomplish.
Well,
both.
Maybe we could open the nude dude gym, Greg. We can go on Shark Tank. We can pitch it.
Yeah, but
perineal
you,
sunning, wait, Pelotons.
But
everything.
Nick, what were you getting at?
The point I was getting is, why do we put up with the why is the northeastern corner of America so crowded when it's always we're always so miserable? Why do we put up with this terrible weather when we all feel like we're such better people?
What do you
in
mean?
Perpetual
we should all
sunshine?
We should move to somewhere else. You mean
like just,
move
just to like why don't we all go move to like North Carolina where like the worst it gets is like 43 and it's mostly sunny the rest of the year?
Who wants to live down there? I mean,
Outer Banks, not bad.
Yeah,
you
nice.
Can do Outer Banks.
Yeah.
Greg can put an OBX sticker on the back of the Escalade.
And Greg, we just got a call from the million moms. They're not happy with your rectum joke.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Rectum damn near killed him.
Hey, oh, nailed it.
Let's see. Here's somebody who says, Curtis, you should just move to San Diego. Well, I mean, I just think. You're not. Are you a climate change doubter, or what are you?
I am someone
he's lazy.
Who. I am someone who firmly believes that my decision at Whole Foods, whether or not to get plastic or paper bags, has zero impact on the weather outside. I believe that we have no control over the environment. We're not that powerful. George Carlin has a phenomenal rant about humanity and the environment and how it's the dumbest thing in the history of mankind.
See, people often misunderstand my take on this. My take is, if you want to do all those things because you believe that you as a person are affecting change, I'm fine with that. People always misunderstand me. I just don't like it to be legislated. I don't need an elected official to think for me and say, you can no longer get a plastic bag, or you're going to pay 5 cents extra every time you go to a store in Boston because you want to use a bag. You want to carry your stuff home in a bag. That's how I feel about it. And the record for Saturday that was broken was 62 degrees, and it was set a long, long time ago.
1872.
So, right. So was global warming going on when it was 62 degrees in January?
I thought it was the 70s. I thought 1975.
It was 1975. Yes,
so, Ken. So fake news, so, Curtis. So making up 1800.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep.
Back then, it was the railroad after the War of Northern Aggression that was warming us up.
Oh, it was the railroad?
It was the railroad which helped us defeat the Southerners.
Like, do you deny that there are greenhouse gases?
Oh, I think that
there's carbon emission.
I think it's a scientific fact that the temperature of the planet is rising and has been since, as LB would have said, the dawn of time.
You just don't think we should do anything about it.
Well, I think we can do. I don't think we need to stop cows from farting. I don't think we need to stop eating protein.
Tree planting is the key. If everybody planted a tree, they could cut 25% of the emissions in the
really?
Air. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Where do we get the trees from? I mean, do we have to go out and buy them? Or how to,
yes.
Like, Whitehouse.com.
Oh, okay.
Greg Hill Foundation. Get it on right now.
Lemon Party. No. I mean, the truth is, as hardo as guys like myself or Ken who wish everyone would do a little bit less or plant a tree, there's nothing we can do. We're not going to stop China. You have literally between India and China, you have almost half the world's population in two countries that barely have the landmass of the United States.
China!
And you're not going to, I mean, when people walk to work, it's like the Australian wildfires in some of these major cities every day from industrial smog. Who do you think is boring a hole through the ozone and destroying all the glaciers? All those little plastic doodads you walk past in the dollar store and go, nah,
doodads?
I don't really need that.
Plastic doodads?
Do you have a tchotchkes, baubles, doodads? You got a favorite dad word you want to throw around there?
I've always been
a doodad.
There are people out there who literally are number one. Their number one concern when they do everything is the environment. And they actually think that they are changing things. And if you do not align with their viewpoint of the world, then you are like a denier who denies the Holocaust. I'm serious. They are nuts.
Yeah. Well, here's somebody who says, Greg, by that logic, and I appreciate this debate. I love it. By that logic, you would be fine with no legislation against lead pipes. Those were legal once as well. Mm. No, that's not true. Lead pipes have been proven to cause cancer. Mm-hmm. I don't think that plastic straw use has been proven to destroy the planet yet. I don't think
someone's not looking at the photos of the dead turtles upside down in that Pacific trash island.
Listen, there's a turtle.
It's
in
so
the,
big at this point.
Have you seen the turtle who is in the news? The male turtle, Super Stud, who single-handedly, through turtle sex, saved a species that was about to be what?
Direct eye contact during this story is also a little weird.
I'm just telling you, there is a news story today. Look it up.
His name is Diego, Nick.
About a turtle
named Diego
that single-handedly, mm-hmm. by mounting other turtles, single-handedly saved a species that was going extinct.
And God bless him, he's over 100 years old, right. And he's getting after it.
And he has 800 kids.
Correct. He was one of 15 tortoises in a captive breeding program at the Galapagos.
Yeah.
And
that's more than some NFL players have.
His
name is Diego Cromartie.
Wow.
And you went
there. His name is Diego Rivers.
He displayed an exceptional sex drive,
I guess he did.
That he's credited with helping save his species from extinction. And now with the future secured, according to the New York Times, he gets to retire. They have met their conservation goals.
Oh, he's not going to be having sex anymore at 100 years old.
He can if he wants to, but it's not going to be like forced turtle sex.
I mean, that is...
Diego, get after it.
Round of applause for him. He must have been tired. I mean,
what do you think his Tinder profile says?
Do you think like the female turtles were like waving their shells at him and he was like, enough, I can't do it one more time.
Turtle gigolo.
I know you're ovulating. But please, I need some romance.
Just leave me alone. I want to go in and watch The Outsider.
Here's Jonathan from Chelsea. What's up, Jonathan?
Good morning, morning crew. Happy New Year.
What's up, Jonathan?
Oh, not much. I've been trying not to call you guys when you get me mad. But, you know, this morning's really kind of like pushing my buttons over with this climate change thing. So you guys are admitting now, finally, that it's real, but...
Yes.
Let's laugh it off and not do anything about it, right? Is that what we're going now?
Nobody's laughing anything off. Do you think, let me just ask you this. Do you think that the warm weather this weekend was because of climate change, because of what humans have done? Do you think that's what caused it?
I do believe we have something to do with it. But hear me out, though.
Okay.
Here's my point, though.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with you, and this is something I told you before, is that the bag thing and the straws and all that probably is not necessarily really causing anything. I've told you before, and I think you agree with me, is that it's the factories, the big companies like that are just, you know, massively polluting, not just little things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what's going on. And something that Fitzy said there is something, a conversation I was having actually on Friday with my boss, is like, just because China and all these people are doing what they're doing, should we not do anything? It's crazy. If your neighbor was destroying his lawn and throwing his garbage in the front of his lawn, you wouldn't do the same thing, would you?
Well, what are you going to do?
Shouldn't you set an example maybe of what he should do?
No,
maybe?
You wouldn't do the same. Ken, you're applauding for that. You wouldn't do the same thing. If your neighbor was destroying his lawn, mm-hmm. and that was affecting your lawn, then maybe you'd put a lot of pressure on your neighbor to try to stop destroying his lawn.
Yeah. If you were like me, you would sift through it and see if there's anything you could reuse or compost.
If this was really a sign of Saturday and Sunday were signs of human-made global warming, then why was everyone outside as happy as can be, enjoying the warmth and everything outside? If this was truly like our world is ending, wouldn't people, the global warming nuts, be inside saying, holy cow, it's coming? Like, why are they enjoying the fruits of negative labor?
The world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change.
Uh-huh. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Greg, I'm probably a little bit younger than you. I remember being a kid, seeing black smoke coming out of cars and chimneys. I'm glad they had legislation against that stuff.
I don't mind that. I mean, I think your vehicle probably costs more because of it. But, I mean, if you're okay with that, then I think that's okay. I mean, if you look at the way it used to be where you had every kind of smokestack going in a, you know, in a city like, you know, like we're like, you know, had the chimney sweeps out there.
Sure. Down in New Bedford?
What's the famous chimney sweep movie?
Mary Poppins.
You know, you had all the smoke coming out right. and the gray uh-huh. smoke. And I mean, you know, Winston Churchill had to help London through the mm-hmm. the emissions smog right. thing, and people were dying. I mean, I understand that
we took lead out of our gasoline.
Is that correct? Yes, but I don't mind that. But I don't believe. Ken, do you believe that the weather this weekend was a result of what humans have done to the planet?
Of course,
you do.
It's the effects of the Industrial Revolution and hundreds of years of mismanaging the planet. And emissions.
This weekend, I don't believe it was in particular. Overall, the general raising of temperatures, ocean water getting warmer, lawns being salted and unusable in South Florida, that may have a little bit more to do with global warming.
Did you see the Globe story this weekend on recycling? That towns are no longer going to be able to do it because it costs too much. I mean, it is absurd. We weren't recycling because it was the right thing to do. Towns were profiting off of your recycling.
Curtis, did you really just ask Greg if he saw a Globe story this weekend?
This is Jim. Hello, Jim.
So I want to ask these people that they, like the first caller said, oh, these big factories that are pumping all this pollution in, where? Which ones? It's always, oh, these big places or this big place. Where? Give me the name of a place because where I live in Central Mass, there's nothing like that around here. Maybe there is in other parts of the state, but there isn't around here.
I don't know. I guess maybe in like East Boston or something.
Like anywhere. Anything you put into the air is going to be a greenhouse gas other than nitrogen and oxygen.
It's all coming from the it's all coming from
simple physics.
Ken, I'm with you on the recycling thing. Ken and I agree about Rush and recycling and all the important R terms today. But it's all coming from the other side of the world. Yeah, I mean, like they're just going.
They don't care.
No. Of course not, because they're just going to make it, ship it over here, and then we're going to look at it in Walmart or just order it from Amazon and go, oh, okay. And then we'll pay someone to drive up it flies on an airplane. Greg, if you sent me something via FedEx, okay?
Yeah.
All right, what do we live, a couple towns away?
Yeah.
It would literally have to, this world is so ass backward, it would have to fly on a jet to Memphis and then fly back to me to get to me the next morning.
Right.
Nick, we now know why you live in Newton. This was just sent to me. They are implementing climate change education in the Newton public school system.
Yes.
So this is going to be a huge thing going forward.
Nick's wife is going to be busking about in a song at the Newton
public. She is
public
working
library.
On a Brady song for
Oh,
you,
she's
by
working
the way.
On
she
a Brady is, song.
She heard last week
children?
And texted me. Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
If my 2-year-old could just stop having his fifth bout of the croup. Great night of sleep at Fitzy Central.
I hate when they get the croup.
Awful. Awful.
And you feel so horrible for them.
Yes.
And
2.5-year-old kid that's helpless.
Parent and it, yeah. Oh, boy. Let's see. This is Bill. Hello, Bill.
Good morning. How are you?
What's up, Bill?
Nothing. It's just a lot of this conjecture about climate change.
Yes.
First, I think it's a good idea not to pour gasoline on the ground where it can be absorbed by groundwater and things like that.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. And I think it's good that we try to have a cleaner planet just so we don't get cancer and things like that.
Of course.
But the fact remains, it's a fact that's irrefutable. This planet has gone through warming changes and cooling changes. This isn't a new phenomenon over the past couple of hundred years. Let's be perfectly clear about that.
Yeah.
And I think some of the people that think this is a man-made phenomenon, that this has only happened over the past couple hundred years, just don't understand science.
Well, they weren't, I mean, the issue is you can't really compare it to anything because nobody was keeping weather records a couple hundred years ago. So
we didn't have pens.
You have
no
pens.
There certainly warm than dinosaurs.
It's pretty tough to write things down when you don't have anything to write.
Yeah, maybe there's like some cave etching somewhere that say, you know, record temperature today.
Yeah, you're all worried about having too many hamburgers now. How about 65 million years ago, dinosaur fights were totally ruining the ozone, guy.
This is Josh. Hello, Josh.
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
Josh.
What's going on, Josh?
Hey, just wanted to call and give my take on it. I mean, as far as climate change goes, I mean, the science definitely says it's real. I mean, as far as our impact, you know, it is kind of, I think, egotistical of human beings to think we have such a gigantic impact, but we definitely are accelerating the heating and cooling of the Earth. And the danger of that is that even though it's happened naturally on the Earth for so long, if we accelerate it at a dangerous rate, species don't have time to adapt. And it is an issue because that would kill off species, you know, that can't survive in certain climates if it really changes the temperature, you know, and then that the food that they live on doesn't grow in that area. And so it's more so, you know, trying to slow down our part in it and not really throw the Earth off kilter because it has a natural rhythm, if you will.
Well, but what about I can understand that. What about, you know, next week or in 2 weeks when it's unseasonably cold, when it's 20 below zero? Is that going to be the fault of humans as well?
No, it's climate change when it's cold. It's global warming when it's hot. You have to get the terms right.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean,
is there a polar vortex coming up? I need to.
It's a bombogenesis.
Yeah. Okay. Hello, Steve. I guarantee in February it's going to be cold. Put your money on it. Hello, Steve.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Wanted to clear something up.
Yes.
So when it's warm, like it was this weekend, that is weather. Mm-hmm. That is not climate. Climate is weather over time.
Okay.
So what we experienced this weekend was just variable weather. The fact that it was an extreme, you could make an argument that it's climate, but it really isn't. It's just weather.
Okay.
And Curtis's argument lacks all sense of logic.
Thank you.
It normally does.
Right. On a regular basis. And he spreads misinformation, like 182 arrests in Australia. It's like he doesn't have any idea what he talks about, but he opens his mouth anyway.
That is literally my job description.
Yes.
See what you've done, Greg?
Here's a text that says, never mind Curtis's lead. Greg's lead was the most irresponsible piece of journalism I've ever heard.
Whoa.
That was not journalism.
Yeah.
It wasn't?
No.
You said you were brief.
Here. We can revisit. We got to take a break, but we can revisit my lead coming up.
Okay.
My lead at the start of the show this morning at 6 was that I was briefed on a potential theory on why Bill Belichick was very encouraging and helpful to Joe Judge,
mm-hmm,
and was not as helpful to Josh McDaniels. And it involves the New York Football Giants.
Okay.
So we can revisit that if this texter would like. I'm happy to revisit that at some point coming up in just a few moments. And we got to continue with the news. Danielle, we have to get to at some point the report from the medical experts who say that last year, when it came to your sexual activity,
yes,
you set a, not you.
Yeah, not me personally, but the general you.
Yeah,
you
the general you.
You understood?
The general you set a new record when it comes to a certain lovemaking-related injury, and we will get to all of that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.